Well, my name is Scott Franklin. I had the opportunity to hear Paul Shrewth's story. Well, so Paul was, this is one of those cases where, as Charlie said, you know, it could be an album, because first of all, he's a great storyteller, and he told all these stories in such great detail, and I had to take those stories and condense them down to one or two lines each in order to try to incorporate as many as I could in the song. Although most people, by looking at what I wrote, would say, what do you mean condensed? And so briefly, all right, his great-grandfather in World War I was a French Marine, and he was his group was in charge of the pass between Italy and France. They put on a show all day long, but then when the sun went down, they'd lay down all their guns, and they would get together, and they'd play cards, they'd smoke cigarettes, and that's something I condensed in there. So his great-grandfather married a young lady who was in I can't remember the exact name of the group or the tribe, but they roamed the deserts of Algeria, and they have livestock, and they speak Tangi. And so his grandfather, Paul's grandfather, grew up speaking Tangi. He joins the French Navy, and at one point during World War II, so his great-grandfather was World War I. His grandfather was World War II, also for the French Navy. His fleet was bottled up in, I'm going to get this wrong in the song, I hope I don't, but Mers El Kabir. And it's, you know, a port, and the whole fleet's bottled up there. Their government, the French government, has told them to surrender to the Germans. However, the sailors, they rebel. You know, we're not going to surrender to the Germans. In fact, they said, why don't we just all sail to Nova Scotia and join the Nova Scotian Navy, and then we'll fight with Nova Scotia. And not against, but with. So the British, they don't like this, because if they surrender to the French, if the French surrender to the Germans, then the Germans now have all those boats, which is a significant amount of firepower. So they gave them like four or five ultimatums, none of which they all involved either the French sinking their own ships or the French giving their ships to the British, and they didn't do any of those ultimatums. So even though they were allies, Britain attacked them, destroyed a lot of the boats, and killed over 1,200 sailors in that, I don't know if you call it a battle. So over 1,200 sailors. So one of the sailors, of course, was Paul's grandfather, and he was not killed, but he's in the water of the Mediterranean Sea, and he was rescued. And because he spoke Tangi, instead of being taken back to France, which is now being taken over by Germany, his grandfather gets to stay for about a year and a half in Algeria, and a lot of that spent in the hospital there. So he marries a girl from... he didn't. His mom was from Algeria. That's right. He did not marry a girl from Algeria. Anyway, he goes back to France eventually, and he's in the French underground. And at one point, his wife and he have a daughter, which is Paul's mother. And near the end of the war, the Germans are looking for Paul's grandfather, who is in the French underground at this point. And they find his wife and daughter, and they rape and shoot Paul's grandmother right in front of his mother, who is a child at the time. So right in front of his mother, all this happens. But miraculously, his grandmother survived. And so that's two generations of military. You get to Paul's dad, who was from a different side of the family, because all that was from Paul's mother's side. But his dad was an American soldier, and ironically, in France. And then later, he was in Vietnam for two tours. And he only told one story, and it was about being attacked by a group of people in a village in Vietnam. And one of them he had to really hurt, and it really haunted him, because it was because that young man was Paul's age at the time, about 14 years old, 14 or 15. And And also their truck had been full of Christmas presents, and all those Christmas presents were taken. So that was the one story that he would share, and obviously many more that he wouldn't share. But that one really hurt his father deeply. So Paul gets in the military. And at the same time that he was in Iraq, two of his children were also in Iraq at the same time. And I feel like I, you know, either way I'm being disrespectful. I either disrespect some of these stories and don't tell them real quick, or I disrespect the other songwriters who have sent me hate mail for the amount of time I took a couple times. I'm going to try to say these as fast as I can, because I couldn't get the details in the song, and I just think they're... So as a medic or a nurse, maybe nurse practitioner, I forget the exact name of what he did, but I know that in Iraq, the whole song is called Dancing Blind, because there was a young man who came to the hospital, and I believe he was Iraqi. Yeah, he was Iraqi. And he came to the hospital. His shoulder was gone from whatever he was shot with, probably not just bullets, and it was gone. And and I don't know the right way to say this, so I just say, you know, his manhood was gone as well. And this was incredibly devastating to the young man. And and for some reason he also had cataracts, and so he couldn't see. So he couldn't see. He didn't have a shoulder, and, you know, and the rest of it. However, there was a point where he would stand up and he would dance with one of the nurses, and that was the way he would start his day. And I just thought, as I heard a lot of Paul's story, sometimes you just have to dance blind, and that's where you're going to find your joy. Maybe you don't really know what you're doing or where you're going, but you got to dance blind. Which is pretty much how I write songs.